There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rodman. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 767, August 27th, 2018. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. I say adios, amigo, from Fernando Alonso. Good evening to Mr. Hamilton from Herr Vettel. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, LCH says Ferrari using sneaky tricks. Fernando has bad karma. And is Ocon going to get the shaft?
You're damn right.
And I want to quickly remind all our listeners all over the world that to keep this program on the air, we need your support. A dollar, $2, $1 million. Just go to the F1 Weekly front page, click on the F1 Weekly support tab on the left, and you know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. And talking of Lewis calling about Ferrari's tricks, the best comment came from Christian Horner. He said he almost took out his violin.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Lewis, you know, he never talked about tricks on his Mercedes when he was doing all the winning. So that's the way it goes sometimes.
I think it's beautiful. It seems like they've got good pace now, Ferrari. I'm excited for Monza. I mean, they need to do it. Even if they don't win the world championship, they have to win at Monza.
Yes, you know, another smarty pan comment came from a friend of mine about the Belgian Grand Prix. And he said, well, at least Nando is going out on a high. Yes, sir. But, you know, today, sir, we have I know you were busy at Pebble Beach and Monterey and all that kind of stuff. You have a lot to talk about. And we have a fully loaded burrito, or should I say a fully loaded waffle. So let's get down to the business of motor racing, a rainy night in Spa. Saw LCH get pole position number 78. Fellow high-fiver sharing the front row set the stage for a great start, while Raikkonen gets railroaded, or we can say shell-shocked for lack of benzina. But before we talk about the start of the second half of the season, sir, we had a very busy off-season, and how about telling our listeners about how your wonderful weekend was in Pebble Beach and Monterey and wherever else went to?
Well, Monterey, it starts off Monday. Me and other friends that own vintage cars, we do a tour of, let's say, high-end garages owned by the wealthy in the Bay Area, which is exciting, and we get to see stuff that's usually not seen by the public. We did that. Of course, Tuesday is cars on the Avenue in Carmel, and then Wednesday I take a break. Thursday, go to Pebble Beach. Of course, I had press conferences to attend, including the BMW unveiling of the new 850. Very exciting. BMW has lots of good stuff in their goodie bag. And of course, Friday, I go to Monterey Motorsports Reunion, formerly known as the Historics. Very exciting. Then I went to Legends of the Autobahn down the road at the Nicholas Golf Club. And then on Saturday, of course, more vintage car racing at Monterey. Then I decided to go pay a visit to Bonham's Auction House down at the Quail. And Sunday, we finish it off with Pebble Beach, the excitement. And of course, that was lots of fun, champagne, and caviar for everyone. So, you know how these things can go. Nas, very busy, Now I need a vacation from the vacation.
Exactly. And how is our friend, Senor Dan Gentile, doing?
Dan Gentile is fine. He was busy taking pictures, that's what he does as a profession. Everybody's good. Mika Hakkinen was at the track. He sends his regards, Nass, and there you have it.
Very good. Very good. Okay, sir, going back to the off-season and all the shenanigans going on, Lawrence Stroll makes a racing point. Nando looking for a new joint, and Ricciardo gets yellow fever. And Pierre Gasly was in his fruit of the loom when he is rewarded for his racing performance. All of this has thrown quite a few careers in play. There is talk and possibility of Lance Stroll moving to Papa's team before the season is even over. Sergio Perez is claiming that he has a contract for 2019, most likely at the recently named Racing Point Force India. I just cannot see, and we've mentioned this before, that Lawrence Stroll wanting a teammate to his son who will blow him away, something Esteban Ocon is very capable of. And Ocon was set for a seat at Renault. That opportunity is now gone. Reports that Toto and Mercedes are trying to put him at McLaren. Apparently, he had even gone to Woking for a seat fitting, and they say his size is too big for the current car. But with Lando Norris driving in FP at Spa and set to do the same at Monza, chances are he may be Carlito's teammate at McLaren next season. Before we talk about what about Ocon, I want to get your take on Lawrence Stroll and the news that Lance might move before this season is even over from Williams to Force India.
Well, it looks like that's going to happen. It could happen sooner than we think, and Robert Kubica is counting on it.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how Robert does.
I think Robert will do fine in this day and age. I mean, how much worse could Williams get?
Yeah, but you know, if he's half a second or a second slower than Sergei Sirotkin, and Sirotkin is no slouch. I mean, I've watched this kid in GP2. He's erratic and crash-prone, but he is quick. There's no question about it. But I think Robert Kubica is everybody's emotional favorite, so let's see how it works out.
I guarantee.
But frankly, I just don't think. What do you guarantee, sir?
That Robert Kubica is quicker than Sirotkin.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, we'll see over a course of a few races. Okay, now, Ocon may also be farmed out to the charms of Miss Claire Williams. The team has become a safe harbor for drivers with boatload of billions. There is even suggestion, this was very interesting, that Sergei Sirotkin may have a Russian comrade as teammate in the shape of Nikita Mazepin, currently racing in GP3. And Papa Dimitri's billions come from chemical and fertilizer business. And you know, this guy, Dimitri Mazepin, he had also bid for Force India's asset, and he may take legal action because, you know, what happened there is because of liens from several Indian banks, I think total of 13 banks, because Mr. Vijay Mallya owes them billions and billions of dollars, they did not get the entry for Force India. Lawrence Stroll and his people, they bought the assets of the team. And that's why all this last-minute moving and shaking and baking from FIA to make sure the cars were there. So Mr. Mazepin is not happy how the process was handled by the administrator. But let's see what happens. You know, I'm glad they are racing. That's what we want.
Absolutely. I was very happy about the whole deal.
Yes. And so let's see what else is going on. George Russell, currently leading the Formula 2 championship, is another driver hoping to land a seat at Williams. He is a Mercedes junior and hopeful of being on the grid in 2019. Which brings us to Stoffel Vandoorne. I think his waffle has gone totally wobbly at Woking. Outperformed by the old men of Turbulent Sea, both in quali and races, it is a sad situation for a driver who was as impressive as Charles Leclerc in Junior Series, winning everything and even scoring a point on his Grand Prix debut in Bahrain some years ago. And I did not pay too much attention, but I think when Lando Norris drove in pre-practice one at Spa, I think he was faster than Stoffel Vandoorne. So I think Vandoorne is, his days are numbered at, and then today I saw a quote from him that McLaren has not improved from last year. So I thought, man, this is it for him.
It is. I think he's done. Move on. Go to Indy or something. But there's just too many drivers ready to jump in his seat.
Yeah, and I heard something that, you know, Gilles de Ferran is now has a big executive job at McLaren. Apparently, Stoffel Vandoorne is dating his daughter.
Oh, God.
Interesting, huh?
Everybody's interested.
They showed her during qualifying or practice on the telecast.
I'll have to relook at that.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. Guys who are Grand Prix drivers, don't send a text message to Mother Teresa for a hot date.
Keep up the good work, Nas.
And Kimi may be a keeper at Ferrari, which may see Charles Leclerc either stay at Alfa Romeo, Sauber, or replace Romain Grosjean at Haas. All these possibilities, what are the changes you would like to see, Senor?
Me? Man, I'd like to see Romain Grosjean get the boot. Maybe Charles Leclerc be his replacement. Charles Leclerc's got a lot of potential, but you're right. Kimi Raikkonen, and I predicted this a month ago, he's going to stay at Ferrari. I mean, it is what it is, but they don't like too much change, and he works really well with Vettel. Kimi resigns for 2019 for sure.
Yeah, I would like to see Charles Leclerc at Haas, which will be very good. And, you know, that will open up a opening at Sauber, and I would like to see Antonio Giovinazzi. We need some new blood coming into Formula One. You know, give these people a chance for a year or two, see how they do. And if they don't do well, then you kick them up when they're up, kick them when they're down.
That's Formula One.
Yeah, exactly. Every which way. So there you have it, sir. So, Belgian Grand Prix, are you happy we have motor racing back on TV?
I was very happy. Of course, I had to watch from my DVR, hence being at Pebble Beach on Sunday all day. So, but I just watched the race. It was very interesting, especially at the end. But the beginning was very disappointing. I mean, come on, folks. Hülkenberg becomes Grosjean. And I was very disappointed in that.
Yes, but you know, all credit to Fernando Alonso. Formula One is very predictable. Ferrari and Seb were expected to win at Spa, and more of the same is expected at Monza next weekend. Now, I have to say a limited damage to Lewis thanks to Raikkonen's retirement. And all the drama was provided on the run to the first corner on the opening lap. And you know, I was very surprised also that person doing this was Nico Hülkenberg, because it led to quite a bit of harum-scarum. Kimi and Ricciardo were affected, but biggest hit, unfortunately, was to your Dios, Fernando Alonso, from a late-breaking Nico Hülkenberg. And Nando's McLaren was launched over the Sauber of Charles Leclerc, and now everybody is singing hallelujah to the halo. And if I remember correctly, this is second screw-up by Nico this season. He fought the wall of voodoo in Baku, if you recall.
And the wall won.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Were you surprised that Seb was able to take the lead before the safety car even came out?
No, I expected. And I think he had to. He's got the speed. He has great, great launches. I expected him to take the lead by the end of the first lap. The other thing that I was surprised about, I mean, this was 20 years ago in 1998. Damon Hill won a completely crazy race at Spa-Francorchamps, which I attended. I mean, if everybody had looked at that Grand Prix and saw the carnage, you would have lifted off a little bit and stay in the race, finish the race.
Yeah, oh, of course, you have to. And Lewis said of Seb sailing past him, like, I was not even there. And I think this Ferrari is now the prancing horse is now back to its full fame and pace, you know, and this is very exciting. I think we're going to have a serious domination at Monza, probably a Ferrari 1-2.
And, you know, I was hoping that LCH would have said that sure wasn't the four-legged Rubinho going by.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And this is Seb's fifth win of the season, number 52 of his career, putting him one ahead of Alain Prost to be third on the all-time list, which is very impressive. He is now 17 points behind Lewis in the championship, and I think the spaghetti culture will have some extra Alfredo sauce at Monza, and it's just too bad Nicky will not be in Parco Monza to enjoy all this.
That's very true. That's very true, but he'll be watching it on his telly.
Yes, in Austria. I think this championship is wide, wide open. All it takes is one DNF for whatever reason for Lewis, and then Seb is back in the game. You know, Lewis's best friend in the remaining races will not be Bottas or Mack, but the rain god. The pace or trick, as Lewis would call, that Ferrari is now showing will be cause of serious concern to the men and women at Mercedes. And Toto Wolff has also come out saying engine is not the only issue we have in reference to the pace of Ferrari. So they will dig deep and let's see what happens. But I'm totally expecting a Ferrari domination at Monza, which I think, you know, will be very, it's always great to see Ferrari win it. I would go to say the happiest day of my life ever was the 1975 Italian Grand Prix when Regazzoni won the race for Ferrari, of course. Lauda came third behind Fittipaldi, and that gave him the championship. Winning Ferrari at Monza, winning, absolutely beautiful. What say you, Signor?
Absolutely, it is beautiful. I was there in 2010 with the Fernando and Felipe Massa podium. It was outstanding. The bells were ringing, and the Pope was singing. But I also predict Mercedes will have a gearbox issue in Monza, and you were right. The pendulum is reaching a pinnacle right now, and it's about to swing really hard.
And this 2000 Monza trip is the trip you are talking about where you could not have dinner with Dr. Mark because your GPS took you to the other side of town?
That is exactly right. My Peugeot had a GPS system. I don't know if it was Garmin or what, but it was a piece of crap.
Oh, you can say it was spaghetti culture, Magneti Marelli.
Bravo.
Okay, now on paper, victory at Monza should be walk in the park, and I expect Ferrari to be very strong at Suzuka and Interlagos also. What Lewis does not need is a kablamo or a flame out like in Malaysia a few years ago. This is turning out to be a great championship fight. In 13 races this season, LCH has been on the podium 10 times, including 5 wins. So they both have 5 wins, and Seb has made a big mistake, which cost him a victory in Germany, but Lewis's team also screwed up. So the possibility of Lewis making a mistake are very high. But, you know, hey, if there is rain in Singapore or Japan or Brazil, then LCH will be back in the game.
Back in the saddle again.
Yes, sir. And Max Verstappen was on the podium after a typical Van McCoy style do the hustle during the race. This was his 4th podium of the season apart from his victory in Austria. And I think he's loving life right now. He knows that at least if they have a good package next year, he probably will be doing most of the winning for Red Bull Honda, if they can provide the, you know, power and reliability.
That's interesting, but I think you're right. I think right now he's happy. He knows he's number one. He knows that Ricciardo didn't want to be fighting. He didn't want his cage rattled around Max Verstappen. Ricciardo bailed. Max feels good about himself. You could tell. He's pumped up. His maturity is growing by leaps and bounds. This was a very good race. It was a steady race. It was a boring race for him, but no mistakes.
Yeah, and you know, another guy who I think drove a very impressive race to finish fourth was Valtteri Bottas. And I just hope he gets a win this season. And he's also a nice kid. And so far this season, he has been second 5 times. And of course, he missed out on that victory in Baku.
The biggest problem with Valtteri Bottas is the number 2 is now permanent. At first, they just used magic marker, but now it's tattooed.
Oh, it's tattooed? Numero dos?
Yes.
Well, you know, that's the price you pay when you go to teammate. And, you know, I mean, we wish everybody all the best. I think Pierre Gasly is going to find out how good and quick ruthless Max is by the 3rd race of the season.
Oh, indeed. Pierre Gasly is going to find out the hard way. And sometimes careers are severely damaged by your teammate.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's called the Boulevard of Broken Dreams, starring Eddie Irvine, Gerhard Berger, Rubens Barrichello. That's the way it goes. It's pretty tough. Okay, what a weekend. Now, you know, the question, how low can you go, is answered by this situation. What a weekend for Racing Point Force India. After locking out the front row in quali, the Pink Panthers even tried to pounce on Vettel to grab the lead. In the end, they were 5th and 6th. That is ahead of Ocon. Now, this obviously the Force India team points, they don't get it, so they have to score their own point. So this was race number 13, I believe, right, of the season?
Correct.
In just one race, they have outscored Williams team. Can you believe this?
It's unbelievable. But first of all, Force India does well at Spa, and we know when that started with our favorite, Fisico.
Yeah, Fisico. That is was a fantastic pole position for them. But, you know, I was really expecting that when Patty Lowe joined, normally when people at that level join an organization, they bring their cronies from their previous job. So I thought he would bring some heavy people from Mercedes or wherever he had worked in the past, McLaren also. But even having Patty Lowe there and millions of dollars from two drivers, it's mind-boggling what's going on there.
Extremely mind-boggling.
On the other hand, both Haas cars were also in the points. Grosjean was seventh and K-Mag, and this team is doing very well. Pierre Gasly brought the Honda Power Toro Rosso in ninth, and Marcus Ericsson was 10th. You know, I read a report that Stoffel Vandoorne has one person who is interested in his services, and that is Frederick Vasseur, who is now the boss man at Sauber. You know, he had gone to Renault, and as soon as he went to Renault, Nico Hülkenberg joined that team. And the common denominator here is both of these drivers, Hülkenberg and Vandoorne, race for Frederick Vasseur's team in GP2. Not only race, but both of them won in very impressive style the GP2 championship. So Frederick Vasseur has a very high opinion of Nico Hülkenberg and Stoffel Vandoorne. And another guy won the championship with them. His name is LCH.
Bravo.
So it remains to be seen if Stoffel Vandoorne will, if he does not get a ride next year with the team, Sauber or whatever, I think his Formula One goose's scope.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So that is will be very, very sad. Now, talking of Gasly, Pierre Gasly going to Red Bull, the green grass of Milton Keynes may have some traces of Agent Orange there, even though he's claiming both he and Max get along very well since their karting days. Nico and Lewis used to say the same thing. Time will tell if Gasly has what it takes to rattle the cage of Monster Max. He's your fellow Francais. Do you have any hope that he will do well against Max?
He could do well. He's very talented. It's really hard to say. I think Max is definitely a talent. I mean, there's no doubt. He's number one. But Pierre Gasly has to come in strong, punching hard.
Yes, he has to, and he has scored a lot of points. Yeah, Max is overflowing with talent, I have to say. And then we have a case of Carlos Sainz Jr., another driver who I think is very nice. Kid has been when we interviewed him and met him in his before the F1 days. He was 11th, and he's going to be numero uno at McLaren. Spa is the place where Bruce McLaren gave his own team their first Grand Prix win in 1968. The 2018 race was a different and sad story. The surviving car of Stoffel Vandoorne was the last car running, a lap down and behind Brandon Hartley's Toro Rosso and the two Williams cars of Stroll and Sirotkin. Now, if you are finishing behind Williams, I mean, you got huge problems.
Yeah. I mean, you're behind last place.
Yes, but I really like what the buzz at McLaren was towards the end of the last season. If only they had anything other than Honda, they would be fighting for the podiums. Wow. As they say, be careful what you wish for. Just might come true. Do you see any hope for them turning this ship around next season?
No. They have bigger problems, just like Williams, who has a great package. The Mercedes engine, it's done nothing for them. McLaren was in denial, thinking, oh, it has to be Honda, their new, you know, compadre. They're just throwing everybody under the bus, and they will with Renault as well. But McLaren has big, big issues, and we need to see heads roll, a new reshuffle. I mean, Boullier's gone, but if they don't learn from all the mistakes Williams has made, they're in big trouble. Williams it's just not sustainable. This is not 1998.
Yeah, you know, they're trying to get this guy, James Key, who may not join them till second half of next season. So they're just going to have another GP2 car, if not a GP2 engine.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a very, very sad situation, sir. Anything stands out for you from the Belgian Grand Prix, sir?
Nothing, except one thing. The comments from LCH were great. He's actually concerned. I saw it in his voice, in his demeanor, and he shook hands with the Ferrari gentleman who was on the podium with Vettel for the Constructors' Championship trophy. I think he's having sexual fantasies about being a Ferrari driver, and it's starting to hit him really hard.
Well, you know, I mean, all good things come to an end, and if he's a smart driver, which he is, then he has to look beyond Mercedes. He has already signed for 2 more years. But I think if the Mercedes package can at least provide him an opportunity to be competitive against Sebastian Vettel, which is no mean task, you know, this kid can be close to 85, 90 Grand Prix wins by the end of 2020.
Easily.
But it's amazing, you know, how things turn around. I remember when Seb was winning all those races with Red Bull, and Lewis was with McLaren Mercedes, I believe, at that time. David Hobbs made a comment when both of them were on the podium that Lewis must be wondering, you know, Seb is having the career that he was supposed to have. But the thing has come full circle now. And both of these drivers have done a tremendous job, you know, 5 championships for one of them, a number of Grand Prix, 78 pole position, Clark. I mean, this is some very heavy, these are very heavy numbers.
Very heavy.
And both of these guys, you know, they came in like 2007. They have more wins than Senna and Prost.
Yes. I still think we're comparing apples to oranges, but you're absolutely right. It's an awesome time to be a Formula One fan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they are better than the other drivers or the others are better than this and that, but it's just the enormity of achievement is very, very impressive.
It is very impressive. And on that note, why don't you get to the constructors' points?
Yes, sir. Mercedes is leading with 375, Ferrari second on 360. And I think one of these teams will be drowning with joy in rose water at Yas Marina.
Oh, there's no doubt. One of them will be.
Would you like to see this battle go down to the final race and whoever finishes ahead? Would you like to see it come down that they have to finish first or second to become world champion?
I don't think that's going to happen. But it is exciting when it's down to that close of a championship. Then the climax is truly unbelievable.
Yes, because I was thinking today about a couple of hours ago, you know, that there is no such thing as a boring Grand Prix, except for the 2017 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Our favorite.
Yeah, so maybe it should be a good thing. What I don't want to see is championship goes to the final round and one of them has a pole position or whatever is leading and there is a technical problem. I want to see both these drivers duke it out and may the best hombre win.
It's going to happen, Nasser.
I certainly hope so.
Absolutely. Why don't we take a quick break and we'll be back after this brief message.
I am Carlos Reutemann. Please listen F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondiale, the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And today's Motorsports Mondial will have a motorsports mantra featuring Ode to Oviedo on the decision of Mr. Fernando Alonso to say adios to Formula Uno. But we shall start with Formula 2, previously known as GP2. You know, of course, support race to Formula 1, Belgian Grand Prix. Feature race on Saturday, won from pole by Dutch driver Nyck de Vries over Brazilian Sergio Sete Câmara, who used to be in the good graces of Dr. Marco not too long ago. Sunday's sprint race was won by Canadian Nicolas Latifi. His Pepito recently bought a big stake in McLaren. Lando Norris was second. He has closed the gap in championship to George Russell. GP3, David Beckman took his first win in the series from pole in the opening race of the weekend on Saturday. Sunday's race was won by Nikita Mazepin from Russia with love. Now, as we have mentioned before, and I'm sure most of our listeners know, that next year the European F3 and GP3 will be merged to form Formula 3 International. And talking of European F3, they were at Misano Adriatico at the Marco Simoncelli circuit. And there were 3 races, of course, and Mick Schumacher, Michael's son, is now operating like his papa. He won the opening race of the weekend. He now has won a race in each of the past 3 weekends after taking his first victory at Spa a few weeks ago. He is in his second year in the championship, driving for the Prema Theodore team. And the name Theodore comes from Teddy Yip Jr. You remember Teddy Yip Sr. from the 80s, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know his son, you know, Teddy Yip Jr. He's a very nice guy. You know, I met him at Sanford last month, and I've you know, we've interviewed him before. He's very easy to deal with. And he used to live in Vancouver, Canada. But this time he told me he's now living in Hong Kong. Okay. The second race of the weekend was won by Yuri Vips of Estonia. Final race was in the rain It's a first ever 1-2 in Formula 3 history by Estonian driver. Yuri Vips was second and Ralph Aron was the race winner. Daniel Ticktum leads the championship. Dr. Marco would like to put him in Toro Rosso next year if he can convince FIA to give Ticktum enough points to get a super license. Now, there was a lot of motor racing this weekend, man. I was like totally elated. The big bummer was at Silverstone, the MotoGP race was canceled because of heavy rain. And previous weekend, WEC was racing there. Nando and Toyota won, but were disqualified on a technicality. Our man, Mr. Peter Brazier, was at this event previous weekend, and we shall have his report soon. And he told me he got a chance to say hello and shake hands with our favorite Fisico.
Exciting, huh?
Yeah. WRC Rally Germany took place the previous weekend also, and was won by Ott Tänak, who is also from Estonia, in the Toyota. The Indy cars were racing at Oval Track, the Gateway Oval Track, and Will Power was the winner over Alexander Rossi. So this is turning out to be a very good season also. Okay, sir. Now we will be talking about... the first question I have for you, with Fernando Alonso leaving next year when the Formula One season starts, who will be your favorite driver? Ricciardo in a Renault?
Probably, yeah.
Anybody else that comes to mind?
No, nobody.
What about Carlito, Carlos Sainz Jr.?
He's fine, but he's in a McLaren. He has no chance to do anything.
That is very true. That is very, very true. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about Fernando Alonso. And I've also written a poem, which is coming up soon. FA has inspired a lot of young drivers, provided great racing memories from Imola 2005 to Valencia 2012. As a motor racing fan for the past 45 years, I will remember him for his great racing talent, and I'm deeply touched by his time in Formula One. The first I heard about him was some years before he arrived in Formula One. He was mentioned as an upcoming talent in an interview by a man who used to work at the Milan Stock Exchange. He sure knew how to invest in a good stock and gave good tips on how to win a race. I remember going through several issues of Autosport magazine I had at the time, and finally discovered where he was racing, and that was in a series called, if I remember correctly, Fortuna Nissan World Series in Spain. This is the championship that became World Series by Renault when they took over Nissan. Okay? Nando's Grand Prix debut came in the same race as Kimi Raikkonen and Juan Pablo Montoya, the 2001 Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne. And this was in a Minardi, which was owned by Australian aviation businessman Mr. Paul Stoddart. I remember him saying that every lap Nando drove at Suzuka that year was a qualifying lap. Nando's F1 career was always in the arms of Flavio Briatore. He brought him over to the Renault F1 team as a test driver in 2002. The following year, Nando replaced Bruce McLaren as the youngest Grand Prix winner at Budapest at the age of 22. Nando's F1 career, the highs and lows, the good, bad, and the ugly, is encapsulated in this poem I composed after a hard day's work on the day he said goodbye, my love, to Formula One. Did you get a chance to watch the video he made?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I did. I liked it, and I teared up.
Okay. So if I have your official express written consent, I will proceed with my poem. It's called Ode to Oviedo.
I just got the text from Pedro de la Rosa. You may proceed.
Gracias. Once there was love between Nando and Flavio. Once there was love between Alonso and Rondo. Youngest world champion he became to end the Red Baron reign. On the podium he met Dennis. Little did he know his teammate will be a menace. Flavio did not know his numero uno was about to go. Through the wonders of technology, he got the scoop on Ferrari. Then came the goulash in Hungary. Slow my teammate, or I show Max what's on my plate. Championship was lost, $100 million was the cost. Then came the night move, and he was in the winning groove. Nando in Maranello, and the man from Moscow. A Spanish bird flew in Arabian night. He again lost the fight. Back to Woking, a third championship he was hoping. Life was no jolly on, GP2 engine was provided by Ron. At the brickyard he tried very hard. Done blowed up was the sad part. A voice was heard from the east. Karma! Greetings from Honda and Suzuka. Adios, amigos. Sad to see you go in a dive. Now someone else will be celebrating five. There you have it, Senor Rogers, my humble ode to Oviedo.
Bravissimo, bravo, bravo, author, author. Very nice.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, yeah, I could tell a lot of thought and good memories were in that.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I just came back from work and I just had this, you know, like a lightning bolt. I said, man, I got to do this. And this was done in like 45 minutes.
You're a professional, Ness.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if we have some time, I would like to mention what other people were saying, famous people, motorsports people about Nando. If we have time.
We have time, sir.
Okay. Well, we should start with Felipe Massa, who was his teammate at Ferrari. And he put on his Twitter or Instagram or whatever, for me, you were one of the best driver on the planet. Okay. Mark Marquez. Another great Spanish champion on MotoGP. Thanks, Fernando, to make us enjoy the F1. Good luck in your new challenges. Renault F1, it's not going to be the same without you in 2019, but what a great excuse to go through the archives. Thanks for the memories, and I for sure agree on that. Sainz Jr., who is replacing him at McLaren, we are going to miss you a lot. My passion for this sport started thanks to you. Jean Todt, much respect for this courageous decision. After two Formula One championship titles, I'm sure more titles will come in other motorsports categories. Now, Jody Scheckter, world champion for Ferrari in 1979, came out and said Alonso was overrated. And this is something I have to totally disagree. What did you make of that comment from Jody Scheckter?
Oh, I thought he was talking about his gardener, Robert Alonso.
Oh, wow.
Yes. All I know is every time I see Jody Scheckter, I'm going to look down to see what size clown shoes he's wearing.
Okay. Now, Martin Brundle said, I'll miss Fernando's fiery character and relentless speed. Unfulfilled potential, yet still huge achievements in Formula One. Now, here is finally the most important tribute. Comes from the host of a global Formula One podcast operating from California. He had this to say with tears and racing in his eyes. Man, you're going to make me watch the Iowa Corn Indy race. Machismo.
And that's very true. I will be watching that.
Yeah, I think if he comes here and looks like he will, then it's just going to be, you know, absolutely fantastic. Now, my own humble remembrance of Nando, the hombre who shut down the Red Baron, something no other racing driver could do, is basically, if you can beat Schumacher, you are definitely one of the greats of Grand Prix racing. If you recall, Imola 2005 was shown tape delayed here in the U.S. I will never ever forget following the race on Formula One website 5 in the morning through the live timing and being extremely tense and nervous and super excited by the performance of a young driver against Formula One's maestro of the moment and basically for all times. But wait, there's more. First win with McLaren in Malaysia. I still have that image. Race started and boom, first corner, he was charging into the lead. A dominating win at Monza same year. I was at that race, winning with Ferrari on the home ground and also his home Grand Prix. Very, very impressive. And Valencia in 2012 from 12th on the grid. Gracias muchachas for the memories and adios amigo.
Yep, it's a sad state of affairs, but we knew it was coming, Ness, and I'm glad to be supporting him in his future endeavors.
Yeah, and you know, though, this bizarre war of words has broken out between him and Christian Horner, that he was offered a Red Bull seat several times, including this year.
Yeah, Christian Horner has really serious issues. I cannot wait to hear what Christian Horner says next year when Honda fails to deliver.
Well, you know, that's what the big question for me is. Not just him, but also his paymaster, Dr. Marco.
And Max. I mean, is Max going to be quoting GP2 engine?
Yeah, Max was not very kind to Renault But, you know, all of this is, you know, as they say, caca flows downhill. But, you know, the big question for me is this. If they treat Honda the way they treat Renault, what are they going to do after Honda? Mercedes is not going to give them an engine. Ferrari is not going to give them an engine. Renault for sure will not give them. They won't even give them a power generator, let alone a hybrid engine. Where will they go?
I have some ideas. Briggs & Stratton.
Oh, there you go.
There's Daihatsu.
Oh, yeah.
Remember them?
Mitsubishi. Oh, of course.
Hey, and there's Hyundai.
Yes. But, you know, they have good ties with the VW group. So who knows? Maybe Porsche will come in or Lamborghini or something.
The biggest problem with a company that's not in Formula One to come into Formula One, it doesn't make sense for them because now everybody's going electric, just like VW and their Pikes Peak winning motorsports car, all electric. Everybody who's new is going electric, just like Porsche, Mercedes. It's taking a step backwards if you're going into Formula One.
And now they're even talking of extending the life cycle of this current engine.
Correct, correct. Because they know that the changes after 2021 are going to be huge, and a lot of it we're not going to like. The manufacturers are going to change the playing field very soon.
Okay, sir. Now, back to motor racing Formula One this season. I have a question for you. Now that we are in the final stages of this very important championship, Fight for Five, as they're calling it on Sky TV, question of the day, of the evening for you is this. Do you think Kimi Raikkonen and his fellow Finn, Valtteri Bottas, will win a race? Because chances are the championship will go to the final race. So do you think Kimi or Valtteri will win a race this season?
No, I don't think so. We're running out of races, and the two dominant forms, they're out of the picture. They're just good supporters. As we say in the business, they're fluffers.
Yeah. I think with the Ferrari package coming on so strong, I have a feeling that Kimi will deny Lewis a couple of second-place finishes behind Seb.
And that's his job. Everybody who's a number two has to do those things. And as we get into the second phase now, those meetings, those conferences are happening. And Valtteri Bottas is going to be told to do so much of that. Kimi Raikkonen is going to be told so much of that. And the linchpin is, where's Max on qualifying day? Where is Max going to qualify in that mess to maybe mix it up a little bit?
Yeah, I think he will create some problem in a rain-affected race. And also maybe, you know, Suzuka or... wouldn't it be something if he becomes the Petrov of the 2018 season at Yas Marina?
Let's not bring that up.
I mean, you know, what they say, history repeats itself.
History does repeat itself, but let's move on and learn from history so we don't repeat it.
But I will say something, if that happens and he causes Lewis or Sebastian to lose a championship, a historic fifth, I don't think they'll ever talk to this guy again.
Not only that, but if something like that happens, Fernando's going to go on the radio and go karma.
Exactly.
So exciting. So we have to work hard. We got to get this podcast out because Monza is next. Of course, we're predicting a Ferrari podium. Obviously, everybody knows I stopped predicting Fernando's going to get a win because of Williams' complete disaster. I mean, McLaren, what's the difference? McLaren, Williams, tomato.
Yeah.
So there you have it, Ness.
They're doing worse than Sauber now.
Yes, that's my point.
Hard to believe.
Force India on the brink of bankruptcy is on the second row in Belgium.
And in one race, they outscore the team.
So, yes, it's about people. It's about the personnel. Force India is doing a great job. McLaren, the problem, they're behemoth, you know. They've got a lot of jelly rolls hanging down the side. They've got to clean this up. I'm preaching to the choir, but that's the way it is, Nass. I want you to keep up the good work. I want to thank all the listeners who love me. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.